The Whole Health Cure with Dr. Sharon Berquist, the podcast that brings you inspiration and skills for living a healthy and fulfilled life.
Welcome to the Whole Health Cure podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Sharon Berquist. On this podcast, we explore the science and provide inspiration and skills for living your happiest, most fulfilling, and healthiest life. Today, I'm joined by Honey Berger. Honey is the founder and CEO of Joyville, giving you access to a network of trained and experienced health coaches who help the athletes of the business world, the executives that need to stay on their A game. Honey greatly values that a person's well-being is dependent on many lifestyle choices, but is most passionate about the topic of stress and the impact it has on our bodies. With 20 years of international corporate experience in high-pressure roles and a number of challenges in her personal life, Honey experienced firsthand the destruction stress had on her own health. She studied at the Institute for Integrative Nutrition and is an avid student of the work of Dr. Bruce Lipton and Dr. Joe Dispenza. As a keynote speaker, Honey today shares how stress impacts every part of our physical and emotional well-being and offers solutions that allow her audience to thrive in all areas of their lives. Honey, thank you so much for joining us.
I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for the work that you do. I'm so glad to be part of it.
Well, we're very excited to have you. Let me start by asking you, why are you so passionate about getting people healthy?
Yeah, so like most of the health coaches I have on my team, it's our personal stories that's got us really to this point. So for me personally, in 2008, I went through a divorce, which really hit me hard. I put myself in a hole for about 2.5 years. And during that time, I mean, I was depressed. I lived off chocolate, which I got addicted to in my early teenage life. And yeah, I was just really in a bad place. And it took about 2.5 years before I finally said, Christmas 2010, this is it. I have to make a change. And so when I finally decided that, I really started with a fruit bowl in the office. You know, I filled it in on Monday. It had to be empty by Friday. But then over the course of about 4 or 5 years, I so managed to get to the other end of the extreme. I worked out hard. You know, I was a boot camp instructor. I started to run half marathons. I was really competitive with myself. I wanted to get to a certain time. But also with the food, although I was eating fruits and vegetables and ate healthy, I ate a lot of chocolate still. I was quite obsessed with the counting of calories and counting of proteins and fats and fiber. And it was just quite a stressful behavior. So while I was technically, from an outside perspective, living a very healthy lifestyle, the stress that I physically and emotionally put on my body still showed reactions. So in August of 2015, I actually discovered a lump in my right breast. And it was, you know, it was just very clear. I went to the doctor and we all knew that we needed to do a mammogram, which was inconclusive. We did an MRI. And it actually showed that there was no cancer, which on one side I was very relieved about, but I still knew that there was just something wrong. You just don't have that. And 3 months later, I finally, over the Christmas holidays, took off for the first time 3 full weeks. And I did nothing but sleep and rest. And I did a 7-day vegetable and fruit juice cleanse. And by the time I got to the end of it, the lump had completely disappeared. It wasn't small. It was absolutely gone. And I was so blown away by the power of our bodies that I started to study, to learn more about it. 3 months into my studies, I quit my 25-year-long chocolate addiction, so which was just mind-blowing, the tools that exist. And I knew my purpose was given. I knew my heart, I had to follow it. So I quit my career. I had a wonderful career with an amazing company, but yet I knew that I had to follow what I'm put on this planet to do. And so if I look at the whole my whole health journey myself, I realize how inflammation is just at the core of literally most chronic disease. If we're talking about cancer, type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, you name it. And then realizing, though, however, amongst many things that cause inflammation, that stress is really at the core of it all. I mean, I could eat as much of healthy food as I want to. If I'm completely stressed out, my body won't absorb the nutrients that I'm taking. And so for me, just stress became the topic that I wanted to focus on first in my life, first and foremost. And just by the more I learned about it, the more I realized I needed to share this with the world. And that's what I'm doing today.
Oh, wow. What a great story. Thank you for sharing that. You know, what is so striking, and there's so many things I want to circle back to talk about with what you just said, but it's so striking that it almost became stressful trying to eat right and exercise, which almost, you know, is ironic, right? You're doing it to become healthy, yet sometimes we get almost guilted into feeling we have to do certain things. We put some pressure on ourselves. Like you said, you get really competitive about the exercise piece. And then you had your time to really reapproach wellness and see the difference it makes not feeling stressed about it. But what advice would you give people who know they need to make a change and know they have to start with some structure and stick with it? So already that's a task which can become stressful. But how can you make that change and feel good and get energized by it instead of feel like you're self-inflicting more stress because now it's one more thing you have to do?
Yeah. So the first thing that I would recommend to anybody is to actually think through what really their goals are. So many of our clients come to us and they say, you know, I need to lose 15 pounds or, you know, I just need to sleep better at night. And quite frankly, that is not a really inspiring goal. So I would really encourage for individuals to think through, I call it, what's at the end of the rainbow? Like, what is it that you really, what happens when you lost those 15 pounds? And for some, it might be, I feel more confident and that will has implications around my job. Or, you know, I'm looking to bring a sizzle back in my relationships. And so that is much more energizing than I got to lose 15 pounds. And then I would encourage you to really start thinking about small changes to make. So it's a journey. You know, for most of us, it took many years, sometimes decades, to get to the place to where we are today, the foods that we eat, the lifestyle practices that we have. So to think that on January 1st, New Year's resolution rolls around and we can keep up with our entire daily life, plus add another 20 new things to do to make myself healthy, is just not sustainable. And so statistically speaking, about 95% of all diets fail over the course of 2 years, and most even gaining more weight back just because we try to do too much. So I'd encourage you, just start with one or two things and start layering on every couple of weeks. It's really how actually health coaching is based on. You just you'd start with things that may even seem easy to you. It might be you say, okay, I'm waking up every morning and I'm going to drink a glass of water and I'm going to drink water throughout the day. And if you can sustain it for 2 weeks, wonderful. You just did so much greatness for your body because every cell in our body needs water. And then 2 weeks later, you just start layering on and just really make this a progressive journey that is much more enjoyable, that starts becoming part of your day-to-day life. And it doesn't become this drastic thing that just is another burden on your to-do list.
And that's really a wonderful perspective of the first step is to find your vision and why you want to do something instead of focusing on what you want to do. Because I think, like you said, if it's a what to do, you know, sleep an extra hour, you put the certain stress because it becomes a task. And if you ask, why do I want to do it? Then it's an investment in yourself. And you realize that at the end of the day, it's taking you to where you want to be or the vision you have for yourself. And that completely changes the equation.
It does. And I think we're so good about this when it actually comes to business. We're so, we put so much thought around it when it comes to business goals, to what we want to achieve, why we want to achieve it, the steps that we want to take to achieve it, the support that we need. I mean, when we write business plans for the year, we're so thoughtful around it. And for some reason, we don't actually always take that same prioritization with our own life, which quite frankly is the foundation of any of us sustaining not just where we are today, but really thriving in our lives and living to the fullest potential that we have.
And you mentioned, you know, you as a health coach and how you help your clients as the step by step. And what's so interesting is even when you think of a business plan, it's a lot easier to business plan for a job, business plan, or even create a vision for someone you know or care about than it is to do it for yourself, which then brings in the role of a health coach, you know, because sometimes it's so hard doing for yourself what you can so easily do for others. And even though on one level we know we need to do it, there's a lot of value to working with a coach. Can you talk more about what you do as a health coach?
Yeah, happy to. So first I would love to share is that even although I've been trained in health coaching, the network of coaches that I have is super helpful for me because, as you just said, having another person that creates an outside perspective for you, that reflects to what it is that you are feeling, believing, seeing, and really a little bit challenges your current perspective on things is helpful. And even if you have the knowledge, even if you're, even in the business world, very often, you know, if you have a business coach, what they're sometimes sharing with you is not necessarily a completely new concept, but you just haven't thought about it in that context right there. So that's one thing really where a health coach comes in very helpful. So yes, we provide the clarity for our clients about what the goal is really all about. Sure, we do provide knowledge. So we might, you know, share the difference of the different carbohydrates, for example. You know, just carbohydrates is just a big topic right now. Simple carbs and complex carbs and what's the difference. So we do help you with knowledge and skill. But quite frankly, you could look that up online if you had the time. I think really where the power comes in with a health coach is the strategies that they help you create moving forward. Every client comes to us from a completely different standpoint, where they are in their journey. Everyone has different prioritizations. If it's now the relationships in their lives that they want to work on, if it's really I'm traveling a lot and I need just to stay healthy while on the road. So everyone has their own unique challenges. And so for us to pick up where they're at and also help them to start trusting their intuition, you know, their inner voice again that says, you know what, this is the path to take is really where a good health coach comes in. In my mind, when I look for health coaches and they all come with a list of 15 things that they feel like I should be doing, then that's really not the right fit for me. I'm looking for someone who helps you think through for yourself of what it is that might be the next best step for you. Yes, we'll come with a platter of solutions for you, but at the end of the session, we might have a platter of solutions, 5, 7, 10 different things that you could be doing. But we're going to ask you, which of those feel most intuitive, right for you right now? Which one of those do you feel like you can implement right now? Quite frankly, as a health coach, we work ourselves out of a job if we do it right. And then the other parts is really is that we help you create an environment around the strategies that we just agreed on. So let's just say you decided every morning I'm going to do a green smoothie now. So we're going to talk this through with you. Well, do you have a blender? What goes into the smoothie? When do you go shopping? What needs to be on that shopping list? So by the time we're hanging up on that phone call or the video call or the meeting, you know exactly what to do. And then the last piece, which I think is so important, is to really help someone with to master their psychology, the negative self-talk, the stress that we're exposed to, this anxiety that sometimes comes into our life. And so how can we reframe that? How can we help you become so much more optimistic about your future and your day-to-day? In my keynotes around stress management, perspective is at the core of stress, of managing your stress and really turning that, what you might perceive to be a negative solution, to turn it into something that can really help you progress in your life moving forward. So those are the big buckets of how, as a health coach, we support you.
Oh, those are great ways. And can you think of a particular client and some of the things that maybe you guys work through to put what you just described into kind of how to picture it and how it has played out?
Yeah, so just one of the clients that comes to mind, she actually came to us with digestive issues. Nobody really wants to talk about it, but her digestion was in a really bad place. And so we worked through solutions about actually adding certain foods to her life, because as soon as I start actually, by the way, removing foods from your life, you feel deprived. So my goal is actually to more start adding healthy foods to your life. So there's only so much you can consume. and create stress management practices in her life. You know, meditation for her seemed completely far removed. So just how can we start breathing throughout the day, focused breathing, then can get her body back into what we call this rest and digest place that really had great impact on her digestion as well. And the beautiful thing actually was that while her digestion greatly improved, her confidence, her skin improved, her energy level improved. And so the way that showed up in the rest of her life, she just showed up in her job so much more. And she's in a public role as well. So she really feels like she has progressed so much just on a personal level, completely addressing what she felt was a very other aspect of her life, her digestion. So typically, when we start working on one area of your life, it will start touching every single aspect of other aspects of your life just because you create a domino effect. You can't just isolate one thing. It will just flourish everywhere.
Right. And also, because stress has a way of working its way into digestion, and if it's worked its way into your digestive system, it's probably worked its way into a lot of different parts of your body.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and talking about stress, I know it's a topic that you're very familiar with. Can you talk or describe how you see it affecting the body?
Yeah, so a slew of things happen actually in the body. So one of the first things that we need to know that the body, actually, our baseline should be what we call the parasympathetic nervous system, this rest and digest place. However, from an evolutionary standpoint, when we get into a stressful situation, if you think back, the mammoth was chasing us, the tiger used to chase us, you know, the body kicks into what's called the sympathetic nervous system, so our fight and flight response. And when that happens, blood flows really to our extremities. So because remember, you're either running away, so you want blood in your legs, or you're fighting someone off, and so you want blood in your arms, which really leaves your heart exposed, your digestion exposed. You're much more susceptible to immune issues. And so the big difference is we're sitting at a desk getting another email, you know, getting mad about having more stress in our life or having a disagreement with our spouse. We're not running away from anybody. So that's one thing that happens. The other thing that, and this is where I just, you know, I find this so mind-blowing, this whole topic, is the topic of gene expression. It's a very hot topic in science right now. And so we all have thousands of genes, and we all, you and me included, may have cancer genes or heart disease genes, whatever genes we're talking about. But if those genes get expressed, if they get turned on over and over and actually have an impact on the body, is greatly impacted the way we think. Dr. Bruce Lipton has done such amazing work around that area. And so if you have negative thoughts, if you have stressful thoughts, you are activating those genes that you absolutely don't want to have activated. And so the way we think completely impacts every cell in our body. And the craziest thing actually is that it's not just a thought. Thought actually creates the emotion that we have. And so when we get to, if we need to realize that actually our body cannot distinguish between us having an emotion because of a situation that is happening or us having an emotion purely because we're thinking about that situation. The body does not know the difference. So let's say you're worried about your house getting robbed. If you deeply get into that emotion every night, your body is actually going through that experience as it would be happening every single night. So we got to be really, really careful about how we feel, think, and the emotions that we create.
Yeah, that's so interesting, differentiating between how the trigger can be a true, you know, event versus an emotion or a thought, because it really leaves a lot of room on ways where we can modify stress, right? So when you work with your clients, what are ways you help people reduce their stress? Because you work with a lot of busy executives, high-pressure jobs, travel a lot. You know, the expectations are incredibly high on the clients that you work with. So even in the scenario of someone's life objectively being stressful and very challenging, mm-hmm. what are ways that you think are effective for people to work on to reduce their stress?
Yeah, there are a number of things that obviously we can do. So I think at the core of stress is really how you perceive any situation. Actually, in my keynote, I have a picture up about from somebody jumping out of an airplane as a skydiver. And so I ask the audience who looks at this picture and says, are you out of your mind? I would never do that. And about 20% of the audience raises their hand. And then I ask the other end of the perspective, you know, who said, been there, done that, would love to do it five times. Well, another 20, 25% raise their hands. The key is that events on their own actually have no meaning whatsoever. We each give meaning to situations. So why is that different? And it all turns into how we grew up. Every belief that we have today, for the most part, comes from before we were even 6 years of age. By watching our parents or any other person of authority, we realized what it is worth worrying about, what it is worth stressing about, getting sad about, what a relationship looks like, what the role of a woman is. I mean, you name it. And apparently today, research shows that 95% of the time, we react from that old hardwiring, from our subconscious hardwiring. And I think once having that realization, that opens up the opportunity to you for you to really start questioning yourself. Is the way I'm reacting right now, is the view that I have of this situation truly still a view that I hold today, or am I just picking up something that my parents believed in and they grew up, you know, in a very different generation? Is this still something I want to carry into my life today? So that's a big part. Visualization is super important. They actually have done a lot of research with athletes where they measured their brain and muscle activity and showed that when they just visualize their skill, that the muscles are firing in the exact same sequence as if they actually were to perform that skill. So by just visualizing it, we can create an internal blueprint that by the time we show up to a certain situation, the body already knows what to do. But because we have failed at it once and we have failed at it twice, we often decide, well, it's not going to work in the future. You know, as would be the past would be a predictor of the future. And that's just not the case. We all, by the way, wouldn't be walking if that's the case. We would be adults sitting on the ground because none of us would have actually ever had the patience to get up and walk over and over and stumble again. Stumbling is part of life. And so on a more practical level, really, what we often get started with is just simple techniques such as breathing. I mean, if you were just to watch your breathing right now, most of us actually just use our upper chest to breathe. But if you are, and this, you can do this everywhere, in the meeting, in a car, if you were to breathe and you really start breathing into your belly first, expand your ribcage in all directions, and then breathe into your head. In yoga, they do this sometimes. So really belly, chest, and head, and then exhale out. And with the focus that actually your exhale is even longer than your inhale. Some like to count, so on a count of five for a count of inhale, seven for a count of exhale, whatever it is. That gets our body back into a rest and digest place. There's a trigger point right underneath our diaphragm that gets the body back into the parasympathetic nervous system, this rest and digest place. So breathing is a wonderful way to already get started. So, but there is a slew of things that we really can do. And obviously, when you work with a health coach, we really see where in life we can best plug in, what practices work best for you in any given moment. Because not everybody might be ready to sit down and meditate. Although having said that, meditation for me personally was a key contributor of quitting my 25-year-long chocolate addiction. I mean, if it's funny, I asked a friend 3 years ago, like, what is the most important health practice you ever done? A gentleman is 72 years old. He said meditation. So 3 years ago, I started meditating. If somebody asked me today what the biggest impact was, I would say the exact same thing.
Yeah. Those are right off the bat really great tips on ways to work on reducing stress, just questioning your beliefs that, were developed by the time you were six, which as a parent has made me think, goodness, well, how have I programmed my kids? But visualization and the power behind that, and then just simple act of deep breathing, those are just great tips right off the bat. And when the clients start to work with you, in some ways what you're describing sounds so common sense, but then actually making it a part of your life is the hard part, right? It's so easy to then revert back to when you were six, and it's so easy to go back to shallow breathing in a stressful situation. How long does it typically take when you start health coaching with a person until the changes in their life seem so second nature that it's become a part of their new self?
So that really depends on how actively the client is practicing these techniques. And so that it really varies. I think the important part around it is how can you create reminders in your life to make it part of your day-to-day life? So I, for example, if you look at my phone, I have a reminder 5 times a day to drink water. I forget all the time. I need a little alarm that goes off. I said, oh, yeah, you know what? Let me get out of my chair and do that. I got sticky notes around my house about certain things on my nightstand just to have gratitude practice before going to bed. For some, it might be just a transition going from one activity to another, finishing up the project and before you turn around and start with the next work to push away from the desk and say, okay, I'm going to give myself just a minute to breathe right now. So the more a client is, apt to try these techniques and practice them over and over, the faster their success is going to come. So it is very, very individually based. But people that start practicing these techniques will see change immediately.
Wow, that's really interesting. And I wanted to also go back. You said meditation was the most impactful for you, and it helped you break a very long-standing chocolate addiction, which is so profound. How did you feel that difference, or what was it that kind of made you turn that corner? Like, what was that whole experience like?
So I actually remember when I meditated the first few times, I was literally, because I had this image that you see all the time, cross-legged on the floor, the hands on the side. I mean, my feet were falling asleep, tingling. I had a candle sitting there, and I'm like, okay, just have no thought.
He made it stressful.
Oh my God, I made it stressful. I laughed. But the interesting thing is that even in those days, which maybe I should say today, I sit on my sofa in my favorite spot. It's always the same spot. But I sit up straight with my feet on the ground, so nothing uncomfortable happening there. But the interesting thing is, even going back to those early meditations, the impact was pretty instantaneous. So even when I felt that nothing was happening, stuff was actually happening. So I practice a transcendental meditation, and just had a conversation with the team that teaches that practice. And there are all sorts of different meditation practices out there. Many of them really seek for you to create this, not necessarily stillness. It's not necessarily about stillness, but it's an observation for you to truly become the observer of your thought, for you not to identify with the thought, but just to be present with your breathing. In transcendental meditation, for example, they say thoughts are okay because any time you have a realization of you coming back to, oh my God, I just had a thought, let me come back to silence, that actually your brain connections strengthen and grow during those moments. So, I'm just amazed by that. But so to answer really your question, for me, meditation was one aspect. For me also, it was including whole grains into my diet. Yes, the daunted carbs. Like I was on a diet where carbs just didn't have, a big part of my life. Yes, obviously we should know that fruits and vegetables have carbs too. But for me to have a brown rice or a quinoa or a millet, it was very supportive for my body who needed that kind of long release kind of sugar. But that's me. That's my body. And that's why I think health coaching is so valuable because we are all different. We come from a different background. Your culture and the way you grew up is very different to my culture. I mean, I come from Austria. So for me to live on coconuts and pineapples is probably not the right diet. And so we got to incorporate these things into the diet. So if you're listening right now, you know, meditation, yes. Whole grains, maybe, maybe not for you. So it's really something that we would need to figure out. But I think that peace that I felt, that calmness that I felt going through meditation, and today still, I mean, I meditate twice a day. I lead a very, very busy life, but I prioritize that. That is just, there's very rarely a day that I go through and don't have that twice a day meditation just because there's so much peace, so much calm. It's like a coming home almost now that I didn't feel right away at the start. It's just sticking with it. You know, it's important to stay with something, anything in life, I think we would agree, that is worth getting to the end goal requires a little bit of effort and struggle. And so the same was with meditation. I just didn't necessarily feel the magic at the start, but I kept with it. And today there's no looking back. It's so important in my life.
Yeah. You know, I would say the same about my experience starting to meditate. It took me quite a while until I actually felt something was happening. So,
yeah.
And I have my, you know, equally kind of crazy anecdote of what it was like getting started. It's a lot harder than it seems.
Do you want to share? I'd love to hear.
I think I would just wait and just wonder if something was going to happen. And it took a very long time to, first of all, be able to focus my thoughts more than 8 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And then over time, I think it took me about a year actually until I could actually feel the difference in my body.
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind and just see the power of it. And now I can transition in and out a lot easier. Before it was a lot more effort. So very, very similar.
And I don't know what effects you saw. Like one of the biggest effects, by the way, was my impulse control. If I rewind back a few years back, I led a team of about 100 people, and when somebody needed something in a stressful situation or came with a problem, I mean, snap reaction, you knew exactly what was on my mind. And sometimes I didn't want you to know what was on my mind, but it just flew out. And so today, I just that pause, that needed pause, that you may have a thought, but you can actually make a judgment. Do I want to share this? Do I want to rephrase this? Do I want to keep this for myself right now? I mean, that can, you know, build relationships or ruin relationships right there. So for that in itself, I encourage anybody to do it.
Right. And it's also profound how the time spent meditating, be it, you know, for some people 5 minutes a day, some people longer, actually impacts the other 24 hours of the day. You know, how present you are with your family, how present you are if you're just going for a walk and listening mm-hmm. to the birds. It's amazing how it makes its way into every part of your life without you necessarily realizing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of power. Honey, thank you so much for all that you've shared. Is there any advice or kind of recommendations you have for our listeners?
I would just say be gentle with yourself. You know, we are living in such a competitive world where I met a gentleman the other day and he showed me his list and his checklist. You know, I worked out today, I meditated today, I did this today, did this today. And even that almost felt like I got a little anxiety just watching it. So just be gentle with yourself. Know that it's a journey. It won't happen overnight, but know that it's well worth every effort that you put in to notch yourself closer and take one step closer to the life that you really are capable of living and thriving. So that's what I'd say.
Oh, that's such great advice. Thank you so much. And thank you for all the work that you do at Joyville. I think there's so much value to health coaching. And I think that when we get stuck, it's just so valuable having that person that helps us. I think for some of us, it's hard to ask for help, but I think this is such a positive direction for people to take in their life, and the difference it can make not only in their life, but to others around them is just tremendous. So thank you for all the work that you do.
Oh, I'm so happy to be doing it. It's such a joy to actually watch people go from one end of the spectrum and to really start reaching their goals. It's just the most wonderful feedback that I can get with any job that I do. So so glad you're doing it.
Thank you.
The Whole Health Cure is brought to you by Emory Lifestyle Medicine and Wellness. For more information about wellness assessments, classes, and other resources, please visit our website, emoryhealthcare.org/livewell. This material is copyrighted by Emory University.